All right. It is that time once again, 5 o'clock on a Monday. Let's hit the books, part of the Hammer Betting Network, alongside the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Joey Knish, producer extraordinaire Zach Phillips at the controls. I am merely Brad Powers. Before we talk NFL draft, before we talk college football spring games, before we get to all your comments in the chat here in the next 30 minutes, let me remind you guys that Hit the Books is brought to you by BetStamp. The easiest way to improve as a sports bettor is to use multiple sports books and always get the best odds. We recommend using an odds comparison tool like BetStamp. BetStamp compares odds across every sports book for games, futures, and player props. You can save time and money by checking BetStamp before you bet. Download the app today. If you are looking to sign up for a new sportsbook account, please check out the offers available at betstamp.app/hitthebooks, or you can hit the link in that description. If you sign up through this page, it does help support the show. Speaking of the show, long time no talk, Knish. How's the last couple weeks been for you, bud?
I know. I've been locked into the stadium tour, baby. The spring game season tour. I think the hottest content out there right now. So yeah. Can't complain. Good couple of weeks. How are you enjoying? You're back home, yeah? How was the enjoy the 2024 spring tour? That's what the people want to know.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, time spent with family. Did it with some family, so it was good. Got to watch four spring games, so that was nice. At least that in that regard. I mean, a lot of it I still got to rewatch on tape to get a better feel, but. Yeah, it was fun. A lot of traveling. Anxious to be back at it here and be betting the draft here. Mr. Hitman's got me running all over town this morning betting the draft, so I'm excited here.
Yeah, it's good. You know what? I know we've talked a little bit about it. It may not be the
yeah, that was great.
the money making opportunity at one way. It's a lot harder now than it used to be, just in terms of getting down and everything. But it's still some money to be made. And been usually I get my spring game fixed for Mr. Powers over here, but tuned into a couple myself, especially the Michigan game. So a couple of spring.
What'd you think of the Wolverines? Because I just watched it this morning. What'd you think?
The offensive line is banged up, so that's number one. Is I think it was three starters didn't play. A little bit of a question about who the four starters going to be. I don't think they're going to go. I know someone actually tagged us in a post. I meant to respond to it do you think they're going to go into the portal? I don't think so. I think they're going to roll with either you're going to roll with Orgy. Davis Warren's a guy who they all like, a practice hype guy who always looks good in practice. You put him out there in a real game, he looks like a disaster. And then Jack Tuttle, I didn't play. He's coming off of surgery. So I think it's going to be kind of a quarterback by committee. Defense still should be elite. Probably just too limited on offense to be, anywhere of replicating last year's success. What do you think?
Yeah, similar thoughts. Obviously, I was in South Bend for Notre Dame on Saturday, so I didn't watch it live. I was watching a little bit of highlights. I was reading Twitter. I mean, Twitter had Michigan. Reading Twitter comments, I thought they were going to be a 6-6 team. Reading them, how negative everybody was. Then I watched it this morning, and I thought they looked fine. Are they going to repeat as national champs? No. Are they going to win the Big Ten? Probably not. But they looked like a borderline top 10 team, a team capable of making the playoffs. Schedule obviously gets tougher. They play arguably three of the top four or five teams in the country in Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State. But defense will be good. I mean, defense probably first string as good as almost last year's team. What I worry is the second 11, the depth might not be as there. Obviously, they don't have a national championship quarterback on the roster, but it's not like they need for the offense to at least be successful in most games. They don't need a national championship Heisman caliber quarterback to have success. I thought the tight end position looked good. They did some things. What I saw was, let's just say this. You and I are head-to-head 9.5. I think I have an edge. I don't think that edge is significant. I think they're a 9. I would put them at 9-3. Understand if people think they're 10-2. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, it's right. It's right on that coin flip of, a 9-3, 10-2 thing. And as long as they don't, lose a game out there that they shouldn't. But I tend to agree. They're going to kind of be in the mix, but just don't have that difference maker at the position to really kind of, go to the – also, you, the offensive line, I mean, I know there was guys beat up, and then the problem being they don't have last year's, I think, as you mentioned, on defense, but also on the offensive line. I mean, multiple offensive line injuries throughout the year and still won a national championship. And still, I mean, lost Zach Zinter, maybe the best guard in the country, still won a national championship. They don't have that kind of depth this year. And nobody can run that cycle over and over again. You know, eventually that depth runs it with the two. So that's going to be the issue, is they already lost Rod Moore. They lose a couple of other guys. Then you start getting into that. It gets a little dicey area. But overall, solid. Nothing too unexpected there.
Any other spring games that you happen to watch over the last couple weeks?
I did take in Ohio State spring game just from a, you know, I wouldn't say there was anything there that jumped out at me other than I think they're as talented as anybody with the same kind of problem. I mean, overall, a little bit more talent than Michigan, but with the same quarterback type of, you know, is Will Howard, is it too early for Aaron Nolan? Like, I think it's one of those things you'll probably see a couple of those guys get reps throughout the year. I have a little bit of an issue, and maybe, and I said this on Twitter, maybe they have enough talent to outdo it all, but I'm not in on the Ryan Day call. It's like we spent every dollar we could, his culture overall, just something off there for me. And they'll be able to talent their way to wins in most games, but I don't know. I just don't think they're, I don't think they're a national championship team. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. So I was at the game and then rewatched it. Similar thoughts. I mean, I think they're better than last year's team. Pretty much almost across the board, which is scary because I mean, the only loss in the regular season was by 6 to Michigan on the road, a game that could have went either way. So that's telling you something there. But with that being said, offensive line still is a little bit of a concern. And I tweeted this. I don't think they have a national championship quarterback. If the national championship's on the line, you got to make a drive to go win the national championship, a tie ball game or you're trailing, and they don't have that guy. Now maybe they'll be too good for everybody else that they won't need one. I know people, Stetson Bennett won a national championship as a quarterback, multiple, back-to-back. I'm here to tell you, I watched the game. They don't have a guy that can throw the ball as good as Stetson Bennett did for Georgia a couple years ago. So that's where I'm at. But, I mean, they got all the other pieces are there. I also say this, and people will probably criticize this thought process or this take. I don't like the thud. I just – that's not national championship, you know, going thud instead of live tackling. I mean, especially when physicality has been questioned at Ohio State for the last couple of years under Ryan Day. I'm not seeing the Georgias do that, at least in recent history. Michigan obviously is not doing that. Clemson, Alabama. Just the spring games in general are more physical at those places than Ohio State. So I didn't get a lot from at least the first string going thud. I don't like that. That to me is – I don't know. That's not Ohio State football, like under Jim Tressel or Urban Meyer.
I would say, and two other things. One, I want to get your take. The two one is the Coach Prime portal. I know Bud Elliott, who like is going to, you know, like be probably like his house burned down by a Colorado fan at some point. Guys that they brought in, or even guys from last year's team that were legitimate contributors, portaling out again in the spring. I guess I don't know if it's an NIL thing. I don't know if it's a culture thing. I just it seems like for a guy who I just don't know the direction that they're heading. I expected them to take a level up this year. I see a smirk on your face already, but I mean it just seems like some of the offensive linemen that they've had already portaled out. They're that running back who had a great year last year, Keelan Williams, he's back in the portal. This to me was kind of like the step up year. And it's like the Sanders brothers are on Instagram posting, like, if you're an offensive player in the portal, hit my DMs. Like, what is going on?
They have picked up a couple. They've lost obviously a lot since the portal opened, more than they've gained, but they picked up that Pitt defensive lineman's a really good pickup. They're going to have depth issues. And look, is there a lot of dominant teams in that conference? No, but there's 10 or 12 teams that on any given Saturday can beat a team like Colorado. And if you get a couple of injuries, let's just say this. Over the last couple of weeks since I talked to you last, I'm more confident in my under 5.5 bet that I have against you.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, I might hit the cash out button here.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I really did not expect that type of exit. I can see the year one exodus, but the year two, you're building to something, and now now it doesn't look that way so much. So not a huge fan of what's happened there. What's the number one? I know you've taken in more. Number one takeaway so far in the spring games you've watched, or either what stands out or kind of the biggest key point?
Oh, well, I haven't watched enough yet. I mean, good question to ask me probably in a couple weeks when I went through like 60 of them. I'll go to Notre Dame because I went to the game. I would say this probably means they'll go 7-5, but it's the best roster Notre Dame's had in 30 years. Just saying. I mean, I'll say this. I mean, I was live at Ohio State. I would take the Notre Dame quarterback room over Ohio State's quarterback room any day of the week. That should tell you something, at least there. The concern for Notre Dame, shockingly, is the offensive line. They can never put it together. I mean, offensive line's been a team strength for a decade, and now this year, I don't know. It's probably the team weakness, but if they can at least have an okay offensive line, I think it's a playoff team. If they can somehow squeak out a good offensive line, I think they're finally capable of winning a playoff game or two. Still not a national championship team, but they're going to be pretty good. That A&M game, look out. If they can win that game, then they'll probably make the playoffs. So I was impressed, at least in that regard, on Notre Dame. Again, I'll get through the Texas, Texas Georgia spring games, the Alabamas of the world. Ask me next week. I'll probably get through all them, and then I'll have a better take there. Any other final spring game thoughts? And we'll transition here in the last 20 minutes to NFL draft.
No, I think that, early look at it and then more to come. But I think we kind of hit the key points there. We'll see what's some of the big programs have coming up.
Yeah, I could say this, at least as far as the transfer portal the first week, nothing has made me want to significantly change a team's power rating yet. So we still got a week left. Colorado was a little bit concerned depth-wise, and that would have been the one where a slight downgrade. I got to read up on Arizona State with Rashada going to the portal. That was a little bit shocking there for Arizona State. Their spring games this week, so I'll get a better look at them. So, all right, let's get to the chat. Chat wants NFL draft. They want action. They don't care about the football that's going to happen 4 months from now. They want action on the NFL draft, which is 3 nights away here. Gus, we'll start off with him. We'll go in chronological order. Easy for me to say. Byron Murphy, first defensive player taken, plus 350. I can tell you this. I could see trend lines there. Hitman had me betting, fading Dallas Turner, which is in the mix there, to be the first defensive player taken. We were fading him today in the markets. We like Latu there on the edge. Murphy, I've heard a couple of whispers on that. Have you attacked the defensive market here in the last week?
Yeah, a couple spurs. I mean, same. It's basically a full Dallas Turner fade there in terms of taking a couple sprinkles. I will say I'm not a significant position there because I still think Turner's probably the likeliest to go, but he was being overpriced there for a minute. This market's kind of moved a decent amount. I don't blame anybody for kind of a Turner fade there in terms of sprinkling a couple of other players. So it does seem still, I don't have a great feel on who it's going to be, but I thought his price for a bit there got significantly too high.
Yeah, verse in the mix there. Again, Latu from UCLA. So be interesting. But I have multiple on Dallas Turner over 9.5, at least in that defensive line edge market there. Connor in the chat, switching quickly to college football. G5 playoff odds, Boise 8-1, Tulane 22-1. I'm not there yet on those. Boise would be probably my favorite as of right now in the Mountain West. Tulane with a new coaching staff. I love the coaching hire. I haven't deep dived the American yet. I would rather, if I really like those teams that much, I'd rather just have them conference odds rather than playoff odds at this point. Have you touched any of the playoff odds, whether it's G5 or P5?
No, there was a few I haven't laid him yet, but a few no's on the NCAA ones I wanted to lay, but was just hoping to get closer to the season on the college football, the P5 play. As far as the G5 prices, I tend to agree with you. I would lean towards more. You're basically asking for an undefeated season out of those, you know, teams there where I think if you think those, I totally agree with you. Those teams can have a better year. You get better stuff in the conference where you really have no margin for error in the G5 playoff.
One spot. I mean, well, what if a couple of teams go like 11-1, 12-0, and you got, yay, great. And then you don't make you lose out on the playoffs. Yeah.
I mean, you could theoretically go undefeated and not get in the playoffs. So I think unless you're taking some bigger prices there, then I wouldn't really get involved too much.
Yeah, if you like those individual teams, I'm just good treating. You know how I'll treat it is I'll just take those teams in the conference. We'll have a very good conference futures portfolio when it's all said and done for you, the listeners, for our pocketbooks as well. Let's just put it that way. Charles saw in the chat, Fez laying it with Caleb, number one. What is he, 200 to win a dollar now?
That's got the blue horseshoe feel to it. I will say, if you don't mind tying up money, this is not one of the blue horseshoe plays that I think could actually lose. So, if you don't mind tying up money, this seems like it's been a done deal for about 2 months now. So,
2 months, probably.
Probably since they got the number one pick, but there's no real intrigue. I'd say the intrigue starts at two, where the market's kind of gone back and forth for a bit.
Let me ask you on that. What's your thoughts? I'm hearing Daniels odds market saying that now too.
Yeah, I mean there was all the Daniels, then there was the pushback on May. I would say a lean with Daniels. I don't have a significant position though in terms of like actually laying it down. I know it's gone back to 260. I took a little bit at some better prices, but it's not one that I was significantly used to have a good Redskins plug, but no longer do. So don't have the sources I did at one time in that org.
Not my best guy as far as a draft, but I was told pretty much a done deal. He's going to take that for what it's worth. I bet it today. Again, not from my best draft guy, but a guy that I trust that it's a long-term winner. Drunk driver in the chat. I'm watching at work. I'm a bad man. Thank you for watching. Circa Polo. Yep. Representing Circa. Circa is coming out with win totals college football in a couple weeks. I'll be excited about that.
Yes.
Decent limits too. So we'll be talking about that. Also kudos. I didn't get a chance to bet them, but 50 over under draft positions. Kudos to Circa for that. Of course, I'm out of town. They hadn't done that the last couple of years. I go out of town, boom, bang, we're back to 2020, where I could have taken advantage. I'll give you a couple of the big movers. How about Pratt? Moved like 40 spots. They had him priced at 165.5 under. It was a big mover there. A couple of the other movers, Ben Sinnott moved like 32 spots. Roman Wilson, you're familiar with him in Michigan. He moved like 20 spots. So kudos. People took advantage of that when that got released, 10 days ago. So thumbs up. I didn't get a chance to bet those. So I know somebody did. Arthur in the chat, Xavier Leggett. I've been hearing whispers, a lot of money on he's going to go earlier than expected. What say you?
No joke. The only draft bet I made today was a Leggett under actually a couple hours ago. I think it was 38.5, 37.5 under.
No. It couldn't have been that. Was it? Oh, yeah, it was. Holy shit. All right.
So,
that's a good bet. You made a good bet.
Yeah.
I'm definitely hearing first round.
Yeah, that was. And if you want to take, so I didn't get didn't have the time, but it like some to go in the first round. I think there was some, you know, like some decent prices out there, but. Yeah, that was the one I made today. So shop that around if you're looking out there. I know he's not super Joey Lib dropping the Reds. I still call these teams by their. I'm still with Cleveland Indians and Redskins here. It's hard. Right. It's hammy, so it's hard to get that out. But yeah, Leggett was one of the big movers today in the one position I filled today. So if you got that available.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one.
Job. I've been hearing similar things. That was another big mover at Circa, open 44.5 the other day. Charles in the chat, on a book I can parlay trap positions with other bets. Should I be squeezing in some more juice here? Alt under 7.5, BTJ over 18.5, Barton under 21.5 were ones I was thinking. Well, I'll certainly say this. If the book allows you to parlay draft positions that are significant juice, I think that's a pretty – that's one time where it's better than your money line. It's not like your, you know, money line parlay, so to speak, which is usually bad, just game specific. But when there's the ability to have inside information, I'm all for it, regardless of what the position. If you want to, you know, my a bunch of minus 300s will be in my pocket this week, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and if you got some correlation, I don't know if they'll let, but like one play, you know, players who are, you know, expected to go in the same spot in that, you know, in the 4, 5, 6 range, you can do one over, one under, that type of thing. Obviously, that could be behoove you too. So, yeah, take advantage of that if you got it.
Make sure you guys are hitting that like button. If you are watching for us here, got 10 more minutes hard out for Kanish. When will the Bowling Green futures be out from DT plus the points? Probably waiting for the transfer portal to settle. I would guess we're still a few weeks out from G5 stuff being released. Brent in the chat, should coaches sit more starters during spring games with all the transfer portal madness? You know, I'm indifferent. I, you know, obviously with all the games being televised, you don't want to show too much. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a fine line. I mean, I like whether the starters are playing or not. I just like it to be a scrimmage and not like, you know, what Lane Kiffin did and had a right. dunk contest and stuff. That's fine. I know that's more for the modern crowd, but you only get 15 opportunities. I'm not wasting it on a dunk contest. I mean, if you don't want to play the starters, don't play the starters. I want to look at what the rest of my roster is. And that's why I watch spring games. I'm just looking for depth. Keep in mind, I mean, we're playing 15, 16, 17 games now, some of these teams. I need to look at the depth because there is going to be attrition. So that's what I mainly watch them for. Cameron in the chat took Washington plus 11.5 against Michigan. Yep, I like that bet. I could just put it that way. I didn't even get 11.5. I think it's still available at FanDuel. Mm-hmm. Like that one. Although Washington has a ton of turnover, but my goodness, that's at Washington, too much there for Michigan. I think Michigan should be favored, obviously, but not double digits. DT plus the points again, minus 550 for Marvin Harrison to be number one wide receiver is like walking outside and finding money. What say you on that? That market has kind of moved a little bit back and forth the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, in one of the shows we did a few weeks ago, I think we gave Harrison to go 4 exactly at like minus 150. I know there's that video that circulates about the Cardinals GM looking like boiler room and all that. I find it hard to believe someone's going to offer up the requisite package to get to 4 to where they're not drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. anymore. And probably then not Malik Nabor, where you would have to be drafting, you know. So I think they're going to hold 4. I think they're going to take Harrison Jr. I think it's been one of those outside of Caleb Williams one that not with that level of validity because of a potential trade. But I just don't see a realistic scenario where without this Godfather offer, you would pass up the chance to take Harrison. And it kind of coincides with what some Arizona people said. And the fact that he did nothing in the pre-draft process of like, literally was just like, I'm not going to do any of it, yeah. Which makes you think that, you know, it's kind of a done deal there. 550.
I lost a couple of them last year for the first time in the draft process.
I mean, I'd rather pay a little bit cheaper price and take the you know, exacta at 4. But I don't see it. There might be a few teams that like Malik Nabors. This feels like something that people on Twitter drum up to say some content. I would be hard pressed to see any team passing on Harrison to take anybody else.
Trip in the chat, is the Florida Gators over on the regular season win a bye point now over 4.5 minus 140 at Caesars? Look like the best price in the market. I bet under 5.5. That's my preference there. I'm not expecting much of the Gators, although I haven't watched their spring game yet. Maybe look if the market, I think there's 5 or 6 books that have win totals out. If the market's painted 5.5, one book has 4.5. I mean, a win is worth well more than 100 cents, actually probably closer to 150 cents. So, yeah, I'm not totally against that if you want to bet over 4.5. But I'm pretty pessimistic on Florida. Not necessarily team-specific, schedule-wise, and I'm not being overly dramatic. It's one of the toughest schedules in the history of college football. That's
I was just going to say, I think they legitimately have one game that you're like, absolute win, and that would be Samford at home. And then 11 games that they could all potentially lose, and some games that they'll be, you know, pretty significant dogs in. So,
and you got a coach on the hot seat. They lose a couple of them games early.
Yeah.
It might be some give up, just, you know, waving a white flag. So, generally speaking, I'm a little pessimistic on the Gators right now. I'll let you know by next week, Trip, though, after I watch their spring game. Charles in the chat, Roddy Gale Jr. transferring from Ohio State to Michigan. Nothing is sacred anymore. Well, we saw that, obviously, with also the coaching staff, with Tony Alford moving from Ohio State.
Yeah, and I mean, that's college basketball nowadays. Is like, yep. This is going to be – it's going to be even more than college football. Like, guys, it's just a portal madness. So, yeah.
Trip in the chat again. Colorado gets off to 1-2 start to the season. That program could unravel. North Dakota State's a very interesting opener. The North Dakota State's got a different coach, new coach. I wasn't a fan of the old coach, so I think there's a possibility they could be better. So, yeah, that's a very intriguing game. At Nebraska, Nebraska's going to want revenge. A lot of toss-ups. Colorado State almost beat them last year. Colorado State gets them at home this year. You know they'll get after it. So, yeah, it's going to be not a lot of layups. Let's just put it this way. There's not a lot of slam dunk wins on Colorado's schedule to get to 6-6. Himothy Chalamet, isn't that the actor or whatever? Is that a play on that? Who gives a fuck about college on draft week? Sorry. This is a college show. So sorry. Tailgate tent. Don't tune in. So if Ohio State, Michigan, and this tailgate tent, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame aren't national championship quality teams, who are? Well, Georgia. And keep in mind, I said Ohio State doesn't have a national championship quarterback. Like, if the national championship's on the line, I would question it. They might be good enough to – they don't need it. I'm just saying that. So, obviously, they're going to be two in my power ranks. Georgia will be one. Michigan's a top 10 team. They're a top 10 team. It's April. I mean, and we're asking these teams. We're asking, like, Notre Dame, who hasn't won a major college bowl game in 30 years. We're asking them now to in a playoff scenario to win four because they don't get a bye. They don't have that yet, so – I don't think there's a lot of teams that are capable of winning this playoff format. What say you? I mean, how many teams are able to win three straight games against top 10 competition?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, especially when we talked about the depth piece there. It's not a lot of teams that are going to be able to survive that. So, I don't know. We've talked about it. It's not the national championship market is usually not one that you get too heavily involved in.
Trip in the chat took Murphy plus 375, and we got a hard out here in a little bit. Murphy plus 375 to be a top 10 pick, sprinkled on him first defensive player plus 750. We already talked about that. Yeah, fading Turner a little bit has been nice. Charles also on that. Jimmy Lake being the DC for the Falcons, influencing their pick at 8. Did you do anything with the Falcons yet?
I haven't put anything at the 8th pick, but – I mean, they're usually you don't think there's too much into that, but you could see. I'm not going to talk you off it in terms of the eight, you know, eight exact. If you want to go him for the exacta at 8.
Atlanta defensive line edge be their draft. That'll be their draft position that they take minus 190. Yes, at circa right now, and a little bit of money on that. So yeah, why not? Joey Lib dropping the Redskins. I'm late to that one. How will hit the books contend with 2024 being the year of the chalk? We'll give you. Take Caleb Williams being number one. There you go. There's a winner. 200 to win a dollar. Exacta. Caleb Daniels Alt 190 to 1. Caleb Daniels Harrison 60 to 1. I think it's going to be three quarterbacks. I think it's Caleb Daniels May. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, it's either – I think the Patriots take a quarterback or if they, you know, there was some talk, they might trade out of it today, but it would obviously be a trade up for a quarterback. You can't not do it. You know, they completely turned over the organization. They have no quarterback on the roster worth a damn. I feel like they have to do it. So, Yeah, I mean, I'm not – I know you're looking for a long shot exactly there. It's just don't see any scenario. It's not a QB.
Kyle in the chat, just a couple more here. We got to get Kanish out. Long shot, but worth the shot sprinkling Jets to take either Knicks or Penix at 10 via trading back at 75 to 100-1. I'm not a fan of that, are you?
I don't. I think the Jets are trying to win a Super Bowl this year and are just going to get a win now type of player that's ready to go.
Cameron in the chat. Yep, I have bet North Dakota State plus 9.5. Caesars, I made that bet. I do like that. I don't think it's a great value because there's still all this pro prime, Coach Prime, including guy on the show that loves him some Coach Prime.
I don't think North Dakota State's that good anymore. That's my problem with it is it's not your older brother's North Dakota State. They're kind of mid now.
That's true. Couple more. How many units should I put on Corum to be drafted Chargers plus 190?
Is this? I know it's our friend the show Missouri Dane here. I mean, I just don't. He like it's funny because his draft stock was a lot higher than I thought it was going to be potentially after the workout. But you need a team that wants to actually run the ball like consistently to make a pick on that. A team that like we're gonna run the butt, not have him as a scat back, not that. So. I don't know if he's there, you know, late. Do the Chargers eventually scoop him up? I'm sure Jimbo would love it at the right point. But yeah, no, I wouldn't. I was looking for a couple of oddity sprinkles myself on him.
Terrion Arnold, first quarterback plus money, worth a look. Yeah, I mean, he's not that far off Mitchell, right? Mitchell and Arnold. And
yeah, I think they're pretty close on there. But...
Yeah. What do you need him to be a first defensive player? I think the first defensive player is going to be an edge guy up front.
Yeah. So. I don't think the cornerback position there, those guys just aren't elite enough to go over a couple of the edge guys that are there.
Last question. Why not take Xavier Leggett over 33.5 plus 104 and in the first round plus 380, only one spot Polish middle. What do you think about that? That's got me curious.
Yeah. I don't hate it. I mean, only one spot, the dying words, only one spot for the I mean, I'd rather just play the round one at 380.
Agree.
Where do you
think, all right, man. Good chat. You got another one?
Where do you think, where's your feel on McCarthy here? Have you bet any McCarthy action?
I have not bet any McCarthy yet. Where you got him? I think he goes, if I had to guess, top five. No?
You think Chargers trade out?
I don't know, man. I see that 5.5.
I know.
Don't ask me. I did not originate this year's draft. Yeah, looking at it now, that was a stupid thing. So I need a mulligan.
He's one that I've taken. I know this has been the Twitter. And it could be a lot of Twitter buzz on him. Just took a bunch of, and then these have come down at some places, especially I bet him at FanDuel, so that you'd want to look elsewhere. But team to draft him just took a bunch of, you know, a couple of teams that were quarterback needy, but not at the top of the draft. They're like faded, basically the Vikings and the Patriots taking him. So took some Raiders, some Seahawks. Couple of teams that could use a quarterback where if he fell a little bit, they might get involved. So that was one that I don't know if I definitely don't buy the top three, and I'm not sure I buy someone trading up to four or five either.
I'll give you three that we bet. Again, Dallas Turner over draft position 9.5.
Yep.
Not my favorite one, but that is something I bet multiple times today, courtesy of Hitman. Latu under 7.5. For the edge under 17.5 draft position.
17.
There.
Okay, 17.5.
Yeah, and then finally, because I know a lot of people want long shots. If you want one, we took the Rams. And again, this is strictly from Hitman, the draft expert. I'm not. 15-1 to take a wide receiver. We took that.
Oh, okay.
That's all, man. I got nothing else.
No, that was a good get back into it session. Good little spring thudding to get back in and be going weekly from here.
I like that spring thud. And for Himothy, this is a college football show. Sorry to disappoint you. But we will be talking, recapping the draft, and also talking college football on a college football show next week. Make sure you guys are tuning in next Monday, 5 o'clock, for the man, the myth, the legend himself, Joey Kanish. and producer extraordinaire Zach Phillips. I'm merely Brad Powers. You just watched Hit the Books, part of the Hammer Betting Network.